Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, we started this little segment when we started this year. Managing life in the tough times, especially when we continue to hear that with the downturn coming, in fact, it's already starting to affect some businesses, that we might see rising unemployment maybe as high as 7%, 7.5%, etc., etc. We've already explored how to recession-proof your business. Sorry, how to recession-proof your career. I guess now we're really walking towards the second part, recession-proofing your business. How to manage a business well in the context of a financial downturn. Juliet Burke from Equus Partners is with us to share a few choice bits of wisdom on how to make a good business flourish in the midst of an economic squeeze. Juliet, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sharon.
It's good to have you on the show. Are you concerned about the future when you look forward to what we might see happen over this year and towards the end of it?
Oh, I think there's been a shock to the market, and I think a lot of business owners are concerned. I think we've adjusted in some ways the last few months, but, you know, there's still more to come, at least another 9 months.
Mm-hmm. And there were some people suggesting that maybe it might just be this year. We might actually be, you know, getting on better, a more sturdy foundation financially as a nation next year. From what you can see, we're not getting you on board as an economics analyst here. But what are you foreseeing, and what are you therefore strategizing for your clients?
Oh, I don't know that we're going to go into 2010, but certainly maybe three quarters of 2009. We've already seen some adjustments in the marketplace, but things are starting to pick up already. I guess businesses are just starting to be smarter. Mm-hmm. And I think Australia is in some ways uniquely placed to manage this downturn. We've got our fingers in a lot of pies, and we've got a good, solid economy underpinning what we've been doing for a number of years. So, you know, our government's thinking smart as well. I don't think this is a long-term mm-hmm. event for us.
Mm, okay. So we've still got to get through the short term, though, and we do continue to hear of people like Harvey Norman saying that they're closing a few stores and doing these kinds of things. Many business owners in these times start looking for ways, obviously, to reduce the bottom line. And, of course, one of the quickest ways to do that is to let go of staff. Mm. Now, what's your thoughts when it comes to that strategy?
That has been the traditional approach, and if you remember the 80s recession, that's what people did as well. But since the 80s, I think we've kind of got smarter and we've got used to different ways of working. In particular, there's been an increase in part-time work in Australia. And the smarter businesses are starting to take a deep breath before they reach for that redundancy option.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen a number of businesses coming forward who have offered additional leave to their staff, who've said, if you'd like to take a sabbatical, this is the time to take it. If you'd like to reduce your hours one day per week, that's a great idea. If you'd like to work from home, then that reduces some of the rental costs that business might have. So some smarter businesses have consulted with their staff, been open and said, you know, we're hurting, the market is hurting, can we work through this together? So small businesses and large businesses. So flexibility has reared its head as a different way of responding to the crisis.
Okay, well, let's go into those in a little bit more detail, because there'll be folks at home with their pens and papers ready to then scribble down some of these ideas. So the last thing you want to do is let go of good people too. I mean, that's often the case, is that you can let go of good people now and you kind of afterwards scratch your head and go, why on earth did I do that? Mm-hmm. At the same time, if work is decreasing, how do you actually keep the good staff when the income is going down? So you start talking about kind of moving towards more reduced hours. Just give me those points again and give me a few more as to how a business can actually be smart about that and actually work with these different flexible arrangements.
Okay, so let me give you a case study example. There's an ad agency up on the North Coast which has about 40 employees, and advertising, as you'd expect, is one of the things that's going to be hit during a recession. It's seen as a discretionary spend, something you don't have to do. So this particular ad agency consulted with its staff, was open and frank, hey, you know, we've lost some accounts, how are we going to manage this together? And put on the table a kind of a number of options that they could have looked at. One of them was redundancy for certain staff. And the staff as a whole came together and said, what we'd prefer is, and this is how I understand it from talking to the CEO, mm-hmm. is we prefer to work 4 days a week So then the question is, how are you going to make that work in a business? You know, are you going to have a sort of skeleton staff for some days so that you've got overall coverage of the week? Well, normally businesses would do that, but this particular business decided, because of the creative energy that they wanted to have in the team, that they would then work 4 days a week and have the Friday off. And that necessarily reduces the wages bill by, you know, 10%.
Mm.
So, well, 20% is, you know, one-fifth a week.
Yeah, 20%,
you know,
yeah.
It's not quite because, you know, there's sort of some on-costs there that you've always got going. But, you know, that's a massive off-the-bottom line. And it's not just, though, the off-the-bottom line. What this company seemed to find is that doing something differently had all these pluses in terms of work-life balance for people, gave them a sense that they were being valued, and my hunch is that they would have got more out of the people in terms of productivity and commitment. So I actually think, yes, there was a bottom off the, a, you know, take off the wages cost, but there was a plus in terms of, yeah, and as you say, you retained your staff for the long term. I mean, this is not a, you know, a long-term situation we're in. We've got an underlying skill shortage. We've got a maturing population. You know, we're not replenishing ourselves. So when this market turns around, we'll still have that underlying condition. We'll still be scratching around the staff.
What I think was really interesting about that case study is that the owners, the business managers, brought the whole staff together to kind of brainstorm this, kind of work it out together. What a great way to actually give staff a bit of a buy-in into the problem that the company is facing and some possible solutions to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And even in the larger businesses, they've done that too. So KPMG in the UK went to its staff and said, okay, one of the options that we're looking at is people take 3 months leave on reduced pay. So KPMG is not paying out a high salary during that time, and they're also reducing their leave debt. So it's looking better on the balance books. But they did that in consultation with staff and said, you know, we need to have, I can't remember what the figure was, two-thirds of the staff agree this is the way forward before we'll implement it, so majority decision-making. But, yeah, it seems to me a very smart response to consult with businesses, you know, people who are stakeholders in the business, your employees.
Yes. This is Open House right across the nation. We're talking to Juliet Burke from Equus Partners. We're talking about how to manage a business well in the likelihood of an economic downturn. Certainly, it's already started a little bit. We'll see how far it goes. Juliet is certainly optimistic. It's probably the best way to put it, how you said it before. So we've got this consulting that can be happening with staff. You can either reduce the amount of time that they work in terms of maybe 4 days a week, 9 days a fortnight, whatever it might be, or, like KPMG, reduce the amount of pay over a particular period. You were saying 3 months. What else can you do there? I mean, obviously, a lot of staff often have a bit of holiday pay up their sleeve. Maybe that's the time to let go of it there, get them all off on holidays, and I guess that would take it off the register, so to speak, too.
Well, that has. There's another business I know that is working through that now, and that's what they've said to their staff. So they've got a whole lot of leave debt there, and they've said to their staff, well, take it on a one-day-a-week basis. So it's reducing their leave debt, and it's also enabling their staff to work in a reduced way but still keep the income going. So it's a win-win for both the business and the employee.
How else can businesses be smart then and reduce costs without, you know, in the end harming the business and wishing that they'd kept on that special person?
I think they've got to look for efficiencies, and I mean, in some ways small business is a good model for doing that. Small business is always running with a very slim profit margin, so always looking for those efficiencies. So, you know, where you can teleconference instead of going to a face-to-face meeting, you know, where you can save a flight cost instead of, save that instead of being there, you'll actually just do it over the phone. You know, looking for those efficiencies. So, for example, well, it's bigger than a small business, but UBS in the States, I was talking to one of the partners over there, and what they were saying was they did a scan to see, you know, how much office space was really being used by their people. And some people were commuting between offices, and they would have a designated space in each office for them. Now, that's rental space that's not being used. So having that efficiency in cost is absolutely going to translate into the bottom line. So basically, they got rid of both office sites, as I understand it, and we're encouraging people to do a lot more working from home.
Yes, okay. All right, well, you've used that phrase smart business a few times now. So in terms of, you know, reducing the amount of time people work or the amount of pay or whatever it might be, the amount of travel time, anything else that a smart business can do to just set themselves up now for what could be a difficult year ahead? Anything else on your mind?
There's lots of small things people can do. I mean, they can talk to their staff about job sharing, so it's not reducing hours across a business, but maybe reducing hours in a segment of the business that might not be doing well. So ask people if they'd like to work, 3-plus days per week, two people in one role.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess lots of variations on taking debt out of the business, short-term and long-term. 48-52 is another thing that people have been looking at. What that means is that people take a reduced salary across 52 weeks and then they get more weeks of leave. So whereas in Australia we get 4 weeks leave, these people would be getting 8 weeks leave.
Mm.
But it doesn't feel that bad because, you know, maybe tax is cutting in and they're not getting that high salary per week anyway.
Yes, right. Good stuff. Well, Juliet, great ideas. Thanks for joining us. It's been good to have you on. Yeah. Juliet Burke there from Equus Partners with a few pretty good ideas there on how to move forward in what could be a difficult year business-wise.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.